Turn, if you would, please, over to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Book of Matthew, chapter 8. I'd like to read verse 1 through verse 4, which is our text today. Matthew 8, verse 1 through 4. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. There's not much good news in the world today, but there remains the good news from heaven. God can make the vilest sinner clean. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says, Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Those who are dead can have life. Those who are lost may be found. Those who are blind may receive sight. Those who are enemies can become friends. Those without hope may indeed find hope. Those who possess the filthiness of sin may be cleansed from all iniquity. I want to speak to you today from our passage, a message I've entitled, Spiritual Cleansing. Spiritual Cleansing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day and thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, again, we pray for those that are sick and afflicted that you would heal them and raise them up. And Lord, we ask that those that are traveling that you keep them safe. And others who are going through difficult times, Lord, you know. Those that are bereaved, you comfort them. And as we come together today in your name, we pray that you would, Lord, just speak to every heart. You meet with us, and we rejoice in that. And we just pray that as we study your word, that you would teach us and open up our hearts and minds. And for those of us who are saved, we would rejoice in that, what you've done in our behalf, how you've cleansed our hearts and souls. You've given us eternal life. But our heart does go out for those that are here that may be lost, that, Lord, you'd convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, help them to see their wretched condition. Let them know that they're lost and that they're dead and they're undone and they need the Savior, and the Savior is Jesus Christ. And so we pray that you would also use this as a means to bring them to yourself. So we commit this time to you today and we honor you with it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to think about today spiritual cleansing. Now the event of our text occurs early on in Jesus' ministry. He is preaching throughout the cities of Galilee. And soon after he calls Peter, we find him delivering the Sermon on the Mount. The record of our text follows that sermon. It is my objective to review and reflect upon this brief story. And in doing so, I wish to glean some lessons. We can learn from both the needy leper and the compassionate healer. Then I would like to make a spiritual application toward the sinner and the Savior. And all of it will involve spiritual cleansing. So the first point is review and reflection. Let's look at this story. Notice in verse 1, I want you to see that he was departing from his place of teaching. It says that he came down, was come down from the mountain. What mountain is he talking about? If you'll back up to chapter 5, if you'll notice, chapter 5, 6, and 7 is a record of the Sermon on the Mount. And back in chapter 5, and in verse 1, it says, And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying. And so he had been teaching, gave and delivered the Sermon on the Mount, and now the sermon is over. And it says when he was come down from the mountain. So he's departing that place of teaching. And of course, he had great multitudes following after him. That's what it says in the latter part of verse 1. All those people that were there to hear his teaching and to observe his ministry. When he left, a great many of them followed after him. Now among these, however, was a man who was a leper. And this leper came to Jesus for help. So we read in verse 2, And behold, there came a leper. And this leper worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. here comes this guy with the dreaded disease of leprosy. And he comes before Jesus and requests help. Now, as we think about this for just a moment, I want to point out to you that he came in humility. In this account, it says that he came worshiping him. A footnote in my Bible says he bowed down to him. And that was the idea. He came and worshiped him. In the parallel account over in the book of Mark, in chapter 1, it says that he came beseeching him and kneeling down before him. In the account in the book of Luke, in chapter 5, it says that this one came and fell on his face and besought him. And so get that in your mind's eye as Jesus is just walking along and he had this throng of crowd about him. This one makes his way through the crowd, comes before the Lord Jesus Christ, falls upon his face and cries out to him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." What I learned from this is that this leper was not demanding but pleading. This leper was not arrogant, but he was humble. This leper was not entitled, but he was self-effaced. You know, we live in a society of entitlements and prosperity, and people think that everything is owed unto them and should be given unto them, whether it be from the government or from God. Many Christians think that God owes them something. But I like the attitude of the leper. Because he comes to Jesus and he has great need and he believes that Jesus can help him. But he doesn't come saying, "You have to heal me. You have to do this." He comes pleading. If you want to, you can. Would you? Would you? It's a different approach than what we see in our society. And by the way, all you have to do is think about these points and apply them to the matter of evangelism. And you know, the sinner approaches God. "You have to do this. You have to save me." Well, the leper came in humility. He wasn't arrogant. And he came not with the idea of being entitled. I see him falling on his face. And with all he had, he was just saying, "I fall upon the mercy of the court. You don't have to do this. I believe that you can. I'm pleading that you will, but I know that you don't have to." Do you see that in the attitude of this leper? That he's a humble man. He came worshiping Jesus. Now, it's not found in the book of Matthew, but in the parallel account found in the book of Luke in chapter 5, it tells us that this one was full of leprosy. Now, our text reveals for us that he was a leper. We're not so much familiar with that. That disease has been mostly eradicated from our world. It's still in existence in certain places, but it's not much of a threat. But back then, I mean, this was a prevailing disease in society. It's like HIV in our society and that kind of a thing, just very prominent. So we're not very familiar with leprosy. So what I've chosen to do is give you some brief excerpts from some commentaries describing the issue of leprosy. And so you have to think of these things, apply it to this man, this one who made his way through the crowd, falling before Jesus. He is full of leprosy. Bear with me for a moment. And I quote, "The Eastern leprosy was a distemper of the most loathsome kind, highly contagious, so as to infect garments and houses, and was deemed incurable by any human means. Among the Jews, God alone was applied to it for its removal, and the cure was ever attributed to his sovereign power." Now that was their perspective. Hey, this is just, you got the disease, you're done for. Only God can help. So, another quote. "There are three kinds of leprosy, distinguished by the appearance of the spots: the white, the black, and the red leprosy. These spots, though few at first, gradually spread until they cover the whole body. But though the appearance of the disease is at first in the skin, yet it is deeply rooted in the seated in the bones and marrow and the joints of the body. The bones and the marrow are pervaded with the disease. The malady advances from one stage to another with slow and certain ruin. The wretched victim is thus doomed to see himself dying piecemeal, assured that no human power can arrest for a moment the silent and steady march of this foe to the seat of life." They knew it was a death sentence when they had leprosy, unless God would intervene. A final quote. And what I give you is, and I apologize if this would sicken any of you, I give you a quote from a commentator who is quoting Encyclopedia in his day, and then I have some of his comments at the end, but I quote. "The patient's," this is a description of someone who has leprosy. The patient's voice is harsh and comes rather through the nose than the mouth. The face resembles a coal, half extinct, unctuous, shining, and bloated, with frequent hard knobs, green at bottom and white at top. The hair is short and stiff, and not to be torn off without bringing away some of the rotten flesh to which it adheres. If it grows again, either the head or the chin, it is always white. Across the forehead runs large wrinkles or furrows from one temple to the other. The eyes red and inflamed and shine like those of a cat. The ears swollen and red, eaten with ulcers toward the bottom and encompassed with little glands. The nose sunk because of the rotting of the cartilage. The tongue dry and black, swollen, ulcerated, divided with furrows, and spotted with grains of white. The skin covered with ulcers that die and revive on each other, or with white spots or scales like a fish. At last, the nose, fingers, toes, and even the privy members fall off. That's from the description of an encyclopedia. And the commentator says this: "Think now what a miserable, deplorable object this man was, said to be full of it. Between this disease and sin, there is a very great likeness. This disease is a very filthy one, and of a defiling nature by the ceremonial law, under which it was considered rather as an uncleanness than as a disease. The person attended with it was pronounced unclean by the priest, and was put out of the camp and out of the cities and walled towns, that he might not defile others, and was obliged to put a covering on his upper lip and cry, 'Unclean, unclean,' to acknowledge his pollution, and that others might shun him." Can you imagine that? How horrible and hideous a disease this was. And what we see is these crowds thronging around Jesus Christ. But you know, being out under the mountains was probably where the leper lived, because he wasn't allowed in the cities and the towns. And he chose to come to this one, Jesus. And I can only imagine in my mind's eye, as this one who was loathsome and abhorred by the crowds begins to make his way through the crowds, and you can almost see them parting to get away from this guy, running from them lest they should perhaps receive the disease in themselves. And so the crowd parts, and he makes his way to Jesus, basically unhindered, and he's full, as we have described, full of leprosy. And he falls before Jesus. And what we find then in verse 3 is this leper coming and making request. "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And verse 3 gives us a very grand response. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Jesus reaches out and touches the leper. Over in the book of Mark, in the parallel account there, Mark adds that he was moved with compassion. He saw the deplorable condition of this one. He had no hope in his own self. Cries out to Jesus for mercy. And Jesus, being moved with compassion, touches him. Sometimes when you go to the hospital and you minister, and you go into these rooms, and before you do, you have to put on full garments, gloves and hats and masks and paper gowns, because they have an infection. They don't want you to get it, and they don't want you to give them anything in their sick and diseased state. And you know what? Sometimes you hesitate to lay out a hand and touch. Not Jesus. Not Jesus. As contagious as the disease was, he just reached out his hand and touched him and gave him a verbal confirmation. Verse 3, the middle part of the verse. He touched him and saying, "I will. Be thou clean." Aren't those tremendous words? "I will be thou clean." Four quick points I want to point out to you. Notice first of all the person, I. Jesus Christ. He didn't send him to the synagogue. He didn't send him to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He didn't send him to a doctor. The leper came to Jesus, and Jesus said, "I." So the person is Jesus Christ. Notice the purpose, will. What has Jesus Christ chosen to do? "I will." That's what he has purposed. And what's the product then? He says, "I will be clean." He heals the fellow. That's the product. The leper falls, disease, Jesus touches him and says, I will be clean. But there's one other word that I skipped in there, and that's that word between be and clean, and it's the particular, it is vow. Be vow clean. How many lepers did Jesus heal at that moment? He healed one. He healed the man that came to him and requested healing. I will be vow clean. Notice that it is particular. And then you look back into the text, you find that the effect of the healing was immediate. It says, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. What a joy, a joyful thing it is for this guy, this man. And what a wonderful story we see. And do you rejoice in that? Here's a guy with great dread of disease, and Jesus touched him and healed him, and boom, it's gone. How marvelous. Well, Jesus wasn't finished with him yet. We find in verse 4 that he gave instruction to the leper. Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. That's kind of a marvel to me because the multitudes are surrounding, they're all looking. You can just see Jesus in the middle of this vast circle. They're keeping their distance because of the leper. But yet they're around, all of them looking on, and Jesus said, don't tell anybody about this. You just go do what the law commands you to do. Now, there isn't anything wrong with that. Jesus came not to destroy the prophets, but to fulfill it. And there wasn't anything wrong with Jesus healing the man. And what he wanted to do was say, you know what? I'm not destroying the prophets as a testimony. And under the law, it was responsible for the leper when they were cleansed that they would go offer a sacrifice to the priest. And that's what Jesus is commanding him to do. Just simply follow the law. This man was a Jew. He had the rights and responsibilities of the ceremonial law and the laws of Moses. And Jesus said, just do this. But he was healed nonetheless. But then, if you would note, and I'll just give you the verse, but Jesus gave him his command, and that finishes our text that we have in Matthew chapter 8. But the leper disobeyed this command. Over in Mark chapter 1, in the text over there, it says, but he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. And so Jesus said, don't tell anybody. Go show yourself to the priest. He said, no, this is too great. I got to tell somebody. And he just went out publishing it everywhere. I used to be a leper, and look, I'm healed. Of course, the result of that was he had such a response to the crowds, he couldn't minister openly, had to stay out in the desert areas, and couldn't go into the towns. And we just read that in the book of Mark. Jesus healed this man, gave him an instruction, and then he went out and then published it. So Jesus had to alter his ministry. And if you'll read the book of Luke, in the parallel account over there, Jesus even took time away from the crowds. He took a break from the crowds and from the ministry because it says after this that he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. You'd have thought that he would have said, man, this is the greatest opportunity ever. Boy, I'm getting more people than you can shake a stick at. And I just got to keep right on plugging away. And what did he do? He stopped and withdrew himself from the crowds and prayed. Not that he didn't care for the lost. It wasn't that he didn't compare for the lost sheep of Israel. But Jesus was still a man. God manifest in the flesh, but he still possessed a human body. And he did get tired, and he did become hungry. And you know what? He needed to recharge his batteries. Can we say that? And so he withdrew, and he prayed. Let me give you a summary. I've given you a review of this story, and hopefully you've been able to pick some things up, but I just want to give you 3 points in summary. Number one, we find that one in need came to one who could help. Isn't that a simple understanding of the text? One in need came to one who could help. Number two, request was made and answer was given. If you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. Number three, I offer and submit unto you that the leper could do what only the leper could do. And Jesus did what he chose to do. Now you have to let that sink in your brain for just a second. But could the leper affect any healing? Could he take care of his leprosy? He could do nothing about it. What could he do? He could come to Jesus. And he did. So the leper did only what he could do. And Jesus did what he chose to do. You get the story, you understand. Let's make a spiritual application. That's the second point of my message. I only have 2 points, and I'm in the second one right now, the spiritual application. As I made reference, as I read the commentators, they made this statement. The Bible really describes for us that leprosy is a type of sin. It represents the sinner and what sin is. And so when you think about it, if we can make an application, before you were saved, you were like this leper, full of leprosy, loathsome, deteriorating, corrupted, rejected, neglected, and you had no hope. And that's the kind of person that you were before you were saved, is it not? I mean, just reflect upon it. But that being the case, that leprosy is a type of sin, I want to make a spiritual application of this story, and I trust that I can bring you along sufficiently that it will make sense unto you. As I do, I want to mention to you that like the sinner, or like the leper, the sinner must do some things. And as I mention these things to you, this is exactly what the leper has concluded. And this is how the leper responded. This is what a sinner must do. So if you're here and you're lost today, though you may not have the physical disease of leprosy, you are a sinner. And you're outside of Jesus Christ. There are 4 things you need to respond, just like this leper did. Number one, you must recognize your condition. If you don't think that you're a sinner, you're not going to seek for any help. The leper knew he was a leper. And so he understood his condition. Number two, you must realize your helplessness. The leper knew, I'm sick, I'm dying, there's nothing I can do about it. And I want you to know, dear sinner, you're dead in trespasses and sins, you're alienated from God, and there isn't anything you can do about that. Number three, you must receive the news of Jesus. Doesn't say that if he was there listening to the Sermon on the Mount. It doesn't say when it was he came up. He may have heard every word that Jesus uttered that day. But whatever the case was, he knew something about Jesus Christ. And he believed that Jesus could do something for him. And he heard the news. And dear sinner, I want you to know today, you must hear the news of Jesus Christ. How that Jesus is God's Son. He left heaven and came to earth to become a substitute for sinners. He was crucified on a cross, though he never sinned. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And he gives eternal life to all who believe. I want you to know, sinner, today, you are lost, you're undone, there isn't anything you can do about it, but Jesus Christ came to die for sinners, and he offers unto you eternal life. Would you hear the good news? Would you respond to Jesus Christ? And by the way, that's the 4th thing that this leper did, is he responded to the Savior. And that's what you must do. That leper could have been told by other people, hey, he's healed other lepers before. He has raised the dead. He has healed the blind. He's done this. He's done that. He can heal you too. And he might have heard that. He might have believed that and still sat in his house and said, well, I'm not going. And if he'd have done that, what would have happened? He would have died in his leprosy. And I want you to know, you can know about Jesus Christ and you can hear it. You may have been in church all your life. Your parents brought you. You've grown up in church. You've continued to pursue it as an adult. And you keep hearing and hearing and hearing. And you know what Jesus has done. But some of you perhaps have never ever responded. You haven't turned to Him. You haven't cried out and called to Him. You must respond to the Savior. Now, by means of encouragement. Dear sinner today, you're spiritually unclean. You're a leper, as it were. But I want to encourage you by the willingness of the Savior. What I like about this story, too, is that when this guy comes up, all the apostles didn't jump up and say, oh, wait a minute, you can't go to him. They didn't try to protect him from them. He was accessible. And if the apostles would have stopped this leper, Jesus would have said, let him come. Let him come. I see the willingness of the Savior when I read verses like Luke 19:10 where it says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And John chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's the willingness of Jesus Christ. Glance over to chapter 9 of the book of Matthew for just a moment. And look into verse 12. Is Jesus the willing Savior? gave his life for the sheep. He done so willingly. Matthew chapter 9, look at verse 12. Jesus, when he heard that, he said unto them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what this meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice." Notice what he says, "I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Why, the leper is exactly who can be healed. And today, sinner friend, don't say, "Well, I've done too much and gone too far and I'm just too bad and God can't do anything for me." You're absolutely wrong. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so those Sadducees and those Pharisees, and we have people in our society today that are self-righteous and they're legal-minded and they think they're getting to heaven by their good works and by the way they live and how they treat other people. And that God will just simply understand. He didn't come to call those who thought they were righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. And so today you need to recognize, yes, I'm a sinner. There's a willing Savior there. But then further, I would like to encourage you that we note the invitation of the Savior. You know, the good news is, as we think about His willingness and His invitation, in John chapter 6, verse 37, it says, "All that the Father giveth to me shall come unto me, and I will know him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out." Isn't that good news? Oh, that's... And so as the Savior makes an invitation, know that He's willing. Listen to some verses that talk about His willingness. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls." Now the book of Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 records for us, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely." As a reference to this, I think of John chapter 7 in verse 37, where it says, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Sinner friend today, do you thirst? Do you have a yearning? Do you see that you're lost and undone? Do you see your need of the Savior? Jesus is inviting you. He is willing. Go to Him. If you're thirsty, you can come and you can drink. And Isaiah records in his prophecy in Isaiah 55 in verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." In other words, you can't pay the bill. You can't provide it, but it'll be given to you. Are you thirsty today? Sinner, would you recognize your need of Jesus Christ? I'm glad that in behalf of this fellow that's a leper, that Jesus was willing. Jesus could have easily said, when the leper cried out, falling on his face, "If you will, you can make me clean." Jesus could have said, "I will, but I won't. You think I can? I know I can, but I choose not to." But he didn't do that, did he? He said, "I will. Be thou clean." If you'll go to Jesus, dear sinner friend, I assure you, on the authority of God's Word, He will say, "I will." But you have to come His way. On His terms. And so what we find here is the response of the Savior. The fellow comes and falls on his face and cries out that Jesus would heal him. And Jesus says, "I will be thou clean." Remember those four things I gave you when I dealt with that phrase in the review of the passage? "I will be thou clean." There's the person. I. That's Jesus. And I submit unto you that Jesus alone is the Savior. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." The Bible records for us that there is one God and one mediator between man and God. It's the man, Christ Jesus. Sinner, you need to be like this leper and fall down on your face before God and cry out, "If you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus, in His grace and His mercy, if you would respond that way, will say, I will be thou clean. Jesus alone is the Savior. Not just the person, but secondly, we notice the purpose. Remember, he said, I will. Jesus chose to heal the leper. Did he have to heal the leper? Was the leper entitled? Did he deserve it? Could he demand it? No. Yet Jesus was willing to heal the leper. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 9. What this means to me and what this ought to mean to you is that Jesus Christ, the only Savior, has a purpose, has a will. And what that tells me is that Jesus is the one that saves, not you. You know, in modern evangelism, that's kind of been twisted around. It's kind of like, well, you do this, you do that, you make this choice, and God will do this, and God will do that. And I understand some of the sentiment behind all that, but what they've done is they made it out that man is the one that really kind of saves himself, because he's the one that makes these decisions and does these things, and then God just simply responds. I remember hearing a preacher preach one time, and he gave testimony. He was talking to a fellow about being saved, and the man said, well, I know I need to be saved. I know I need Jesus Christ. I know I'm lost, and he's my only Savior. He said, but I don't want to be saved now. I got things going on in my life. I've got this, I've got that, and I'm just not ready to be saved yet, even though I know I need to be saved. I'll be saved later on, right before I die. And the preacher astutely looked at the guy and said, if you're not going to be saved now, you won't be saved, because you know what? You don't demand upon God when you can be. If you say, oh, I'm just going to wait till I get saved before I die and be saved, who makes the demand? Do you really think for a second, my friend, that you have the opportunity and the right to stand before God the moment you take your last breath and say, God, save me, and you have to do it? Now think that through. Does God have to heal the leper? Does God have to save the sinner? He has chosen to save the sinner. But he doesn't have to. He chooses to. Look at what we read in Romans 9, where I've asked you to turn. Hopefully this will clear up my dirty water that I tossed to you just a second ago. Romans 9:15. He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Go back to John chapter 1. Book of John chapter 1. Notice what it says in verse 12. We like verse 12. We quote verse 12 when we witness to people. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How true it is, isn't it? But look at that next verse. Which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Do you understand what I'm conveying to you? Jesus looked at the leper and said, I will. But that leper couldn't demand it. The leper didn't deserve it. And it was all up to the Savior to respond. And Jesus said, I will. It's not your choice. It's not your decision. All you can do is be like the leper and fall before Jesus Christ and cry out for mercy and say, God, if you'll save me, only you can do it. And if you'll save me, do so. That's all you can do. You can't make them. You can't make a decision and say, well, I choose you. You can't make God save you. As Brother Stacy spoke of the other night and given his testimony, it's a simple submission, a surrender. All you can do, sinner, is surrender at the feet of Jesus. And I guarantee you, I've said it a moment ago, I guarantee you on the authority of God's Word, he said, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. You say, well, then you place the demand upon yourself. No, God said he will do it. That's his promise. But you can't make it happen. you cannot generate your own birth. It's God's choice. And we have arrogant man, self-centered, humanistic, placing demands on God all the time. I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll be saved when I want to be saved, and God will just have to save me on my deathbed. I'll tell you, my friend, you're taking a big risk. God don't have to save you. You say, well, I'll just cry out to him and he has to. Well, I have a sneaking suspicion if you cry out like that, it's not from a true motivated heart anyway. And you're the one that's off base and it won't be a true cry. God makes warning in the Old Testament scriptures about those he's cried unto them and they would not hear. You're going to cry and he says, I will not hear. I tell you, if God's convicting you, drawing you, moving in your heart, dear sinner, you had best respond while God does that. Because if you harden your heart, there may well come a day that you want God to hear and he's not going to listen. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. And so we find those four things. The person, the purpose. Let's go on to number three, the product. Be clean. Go back to John 3. I need to hasten along here. John chapter 3. What's the product? He told the leper, I will be clean. Be clean. And sinner, I want you to know today, as defiled as you are, as corrupt as you are, you're dead in smell. You know what? He'll give you eternal life. He'll spiritually cleanse you. What is that cleansing? What's the new birth, is it not? John chapter 3, we read in verse 6 and verse 7. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And you didn't produce your own birth, and you can't produce your spiritual birth. Only God can give you new life. All you can do as a sinner is fall down on his knees and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all you can do. And God, in his grace, we trust will save you. The new birth, to be born from above. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'll tell you, when Jesus saved me back in 1974, he changed my life completely. I'm not perfect. I'm still a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. But I'll tell you, I've been washed from my sin, and he cleansed me spiritually clean. Now notice the fourth thing, and I'll be finished. I will be clean. But notice that. Remember the word particular? Be thou clean. It's kind of like when Jesus stood outside of Lazarus' tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. The reason why he said Lazarus is because if he just said come forth, they all would have come out. He said, Lazarus, you come out. And he did. Jesus didn't heal every leper that day in that instance. He healed one, the one that was before him. He said, I will be thou clean. And I submit unto you that the sinner who comes to Jesus is the one who is clean. It's not a universal blanket coverage. Some people believe, and I believe John 3:16. I believe the scriptures and the provision which Christ has made. But some people see it as a universal atonement, that everybody's going to heaven and everybody has forgiveness of sins. It's not like that, my friend. Jesus saves the sinner that comes to him. Remember the scripture said in John 6:37. I've said it to you twice. He that cometh to me, he that cometh to me. And all you can do, you have nothing to offer, you have no demands to make, all you can do is fall on the mercy of Jesus Christ and plead for his grace. If you will, you can make me clean. And sinner, that ought to be your attitude. If you will, you can make me clean. You can give me eternal life. And him that comes to me, I will no wise cast out. The scripture says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. You must repent, you must believe. Acts 16:31, where they told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Do you know what it says in Romans 10:13? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you can't look at it as, well, this is universal. I don't have to respond. I don't have to come to Jesus. I don't need to bow my knee to him. I don't need to surrender to the Lord. My friend, if you don't, you won't be saved. You will not have eternal life. As a sinner, you must come before God and call upon him. And God says, if you'll come in that capacity with the right attitude, the right motive, God's working on your heart. He says, I will be thou clean. Spiritual cleansing will occur. As I gave you a summary in the first application as we read through the text, in this matter of spiritual application, let me give you those three things and I'm done. Number one, in summary, one in need must come to one who can help. Sinner, you're in great need. You must go to the only one that can help you. I can't do it. The church can't do it. No religion can do it. You must go to Jesus. Number two, requests must be made. An answer will be given. He said, "Wilt thou, if you will, you can make me clean." And I encourage you, sinner, to turn to Jesus. Number three, the sinner can only do what the sinner can do. And Jesus will do what he chooses to do. Does that make sense to you? All you can do, sinner, is fall on the mercy of the court. You have nothing to offer God. And you can't demand him to save you. But you can cry out for mercy. And Jesus will do what he chooses to do. And so, sinner, today I encourage you to receive spiritual cleansing. And if you're here and you're saved, you've already received that and you understand. And this makes good sense to you. And you ought to rejoice in the grace and the mercy of God. I'm glad he saved me. I was just like that old dead, nasty leper. And he cleansed me. Problem is, I think it gets to the place where sinners don't realize how sinful sin really is and how corrupt and how evil they really are in their lives. If we could see ourselves like that leper, I'll tell you, respond much quicker to the Savior. So if you're here and you're lost today, I point you to Jesus, the mighty to save. And you who are saved, those of us who know Jesus Christ, rejoice in the salvation that he's given to us. Thank him for it. Live for Jesus Christ. Pray for those that are lost that they might be saved. I'd like for us to stand and sing, "Brother Paul, would you please come?" The invitation simply is this, right where you are. If God's moving in your heart, convicting in your soul, just bow your heart and knee to him. Cry out to God for mercy that he'd save you. Would you do it? Sinner, would you be saved today? Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. And I pray that you overcome any frailty of speech, any misspoken word, and take your word and work by your spirit in every heart that God, by your grace and mercy, you'd save the lost today. And we who are saved would be encouraged and strengthened and rejoice in the salvation you've given to us. And we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. You alone deserve it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?
Number 410. 410.